If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, that is self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort, encourage each other and edify, build one another up, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, instruct or warn, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, insubordinate, or idle. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, that is, set you apart, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be presented blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. We'll also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Charged by the Lord that this be read to all the holy brothers and sisters. The day of the Lord, various exhortations, blessing, and admonition. So we begin. The day of the Lord, you know. The text says the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We are not of darkness. We are not in darkness so that this day should overtake us as a thief. We're children of the light. Children of the day. We are children of the coming day of the Lord. Let us not sleep. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You know, a good idea to get the breastplate of faith and love on, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Jesus is coming. He's surely coming. The return of the King. Jesus is coming soon. When? You know, I don't know. Could be any moment now. Could be any day now. Yes, we do not know when the Lord Jesus will return, but we do not know of one moment when he may not return. Are you ready? Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The footnote adds, nor the Son. Father knows. Our Father knows. When? The text, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Looking for writings, longing for writings, pining and searching, wishing for writings, asking for writings. You have no need that I should write to you. Times and seasons. Someone's saying, when? When is he coming? When is Jesus coming? You know, better question. Ready? You know, when someone's coming back, you get ready. Yes, we usually know when someone's coming back. It's not typical that a return is unexpected. We know the day, we know the hour, we may even know the exact time, and so we're ready for the arrival. But what if you didn't know the day, the hour, the time? The time of arrival, not the century, not the decade, not the year, not the month, not the week, not the day, not the hour, not the minute, not the second. No idea. Perhaps a feeling, but just the charge to be ready. 2 Peter 3, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the command of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition, destruction of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, think about it. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of the Lord, our Lord, is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So be it. God's promise is not slack. The day of the Lord. Be steadfast. You know, exhortations are important. You know, like, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. And words like these, be at peace among yourselves. Every word worthy of acceptance. And my, that's good exhorting. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. What's the will of God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And the Word says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. You know, some spirits need quenching, extinguishing. Test all things. Don't get testy. Don't be testy. Abstinence, fitting for the Christian, a life and lifestyle of abstinence. In need of some blessing and admonition this day? Well, the text, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Receive it today. Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, when someone's coming back, you get ready. How much more when it's Jesus? You know, your husband is coming back from a trip, and so you're cleaning up, and you're washing up, and you're getting everything in order. There's anticipation and excitement, waiting, looking, watching, heart beating, mind racing, the bride and the bride-to-be. Can't wait, yet having to wait. Move the hands on the clock forward. Can't. Speed up time. Can't. Can time speed up? When Jesus is coming back, you get ready. When? I want to know when. So do I. But can I ask, why do you want to know when? You see, one wants to know when because the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. They want to know when because they can't wait, and preparations are being made, and preparation has been made. They want to know when because they are waiting, they are looking, they are watching, heart beating, mind racing, they are so excited. They want to know when because they are ready. By God's grace, they are ready. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. The Voice Bible reads, his bride has prepared herself. I thought this was all on Jesus. It says, the bride has prepared herself for this glorious day. Why do you want to know when? You know, some want to know when, so that they can gauge when might be a good time to start getting ready. or think about getting ready or even consider getting ready. They aren't ready. They aren't ready to get ready. They aren't wanting to get ready. The cleanup, the wash up, and so forth. Yeah, we do not know when the Lord Jesus will return, but we do not know of one moment when he may not return. Get ready. Live ready. Has someone ever arrived sooner than you expected them to? You know, they arrive and there's panic because the house is a mess and out of order, unswept, unkept, and you're standing there not dressed or underdressed, unshowered, unwashed, no fragrance. But imagine if you are always ready, in a perpetual state of readying and readiness. Yes, still the surprise of the return, but not caught off guard. The king in the night. Well, it's time for the epilogue and benediction. The time is near. Jesus testifies to the churches a warning. I am coming quickly. Revelation 22, 8 to 21. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Other translations say those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may not and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, the tree of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, with all the saints. Amen. So be it. End of book. End of book. End of Bible. But not the end of all things. And behold, I am coming quickly. And so, have you beheld the Lamb of God? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:36, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, look, that is, take notice. He's the way, the truth, and the life. One hope, Jesus Christ, still the voice crying in this wilderness. And let the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, Come and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Part of this company, Jesus is the water of life. Jesus gives the water. Now is the time for drinking. Now is the time of salvation. John 4, we pick it up at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." You know, like they don't use dishes Samaritans have used. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You know, the well is deep, and we have nothing to draw with. We only have repentance to offer, our lives to offer, nothing to draw with. Only Jesus can give us the water of life, and his drawing. You know, he gives himself to us. How remarkable, how astonishing. And I still wonder that he associates with me. What is man that you are mindful? And how it is that Jesus would ask anything of me, that he would want anything I would have to offer. If you knew the gift of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Samaritan, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verses 15 to 18, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "Oh, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." People, he knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows us inside and out. Nothing is hid from him. Verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet." Don't stop there. Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Verses 20 to 26, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you shall worship, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." That's a good word. "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit And in truth, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. If anyone thirsts, come. You know, this is the same Jesus at the close of the book. Same Jesus at the close of the holy book, and he's saying, surely I am coming quickly. You know, can we say it? Can we sing it? Amen. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Maybe life's too comfortable on this side. Maybe we love life too much. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Coming back. Coming back to ready. Coming back to readying. Coming back to preparedness. Coming back to being ready. Getting ready. Ready for his comeback. A comeback only in this sense, because he's always ahead. A Christian man started a company. Some of what he made, guitar pedals, effects pedals. And so you make pedals, you make a pedal. And people begin purchasing the pedals, you know, they're good pedals. Stores begin opening, place on the shelf and ordering these pedals, components and enclosures and packaging and so forth. Well, the man has gone on to glory, and to this day his pedals are highly sought after. Remove the back plate of one of his pedals, and there's writing penned by his own hand. Among other text, it reads, Landgraf Custom Amps and Pedals, where Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming soon. A decal right on the back plate for all to see. Company name and details, and where Jesus is Lord. Get it out however you can. Get the message out whoever you can, by whatever means you can, that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus is coming soon. Well, the pedal goes in a box. So ready for selling. You know, right on the box where Jesus is Lord. Open the box, and in big, bold writing, red Sharpie pen, it says, Jesus is coming soon. Alarm. Decals inside with the same flow and a Christian tract. A letter about the pedal with Christian emblems, same messaging, and thanks and God bless you in Jesus. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. You know, it's pretty incredible. Remarkable. And how many non-Christians made purchase? And how many non-Christians are still trying to make purchase? Because the man's going on to glory. And they're not throwing out the box, because that would decrease the value. And they're not throwing out the tract, because that would decrease the value. And they're not throwing out the decals. I could show you the site to go to this afternoon on the secondhand market. And right there, all the provenance laid out. And those are the pedals going for the most. Jesus is coming soon. A cardboard box to house a guitar pedal for sale. And you know, he would even make amps and write on the front the nameplate. You know what it says? Where Jesus is Lord. Well, all this to say, Jesus is Lord. And all this to say that Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, when Jesus is coming back, you clean up, you wash up, you get ready. We're talking about anticipation and excitement, waiting, looking, watching, heart beating, mind racing. He's saying, surely I am coming quickly. Can we say it and love to sing it? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Steadfast life. You know, it sounds like and it reads like getting ready. Living ready. Verse 15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You know, he hasn't come yet. There's still time. There's still time for you. There's still time for your sons and daughters. There's still time for your grandchildren. There's still time for your neighbors. There's still time for your coworkers. There's still time for the lost, for all those that will come and drink. And so today, let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Verses 17 to 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also sometimes you just got to stop and let it sink in. You're like, it's impossible that I would fall from steadfastness. You know how many people have fallen from steadfastness? Even those that have walked with the Lord for decades. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be steadfast. Verses 15 to 16, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You know, as the ones who know this beforehand, we are to be aware lest we also fall from our own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Grow, not just in grace and knowledge, but in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last line, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. True words. Followers of Jesus who believe that at any moment he will return seek to ready themselves with a growing purity that is increasingly more like him. We're a little loose today. Someone's going to say, well, you're talking religion now. No, just think about it. I remember a day where I was told by a grandparent, if Jesus comes back and you're in that bowling alley, or, you know, I remember as a young teenager going to the movie theater, and that was in my head. So you pick the cleanest movie, but still you were told that Jesus comes back and you're in that movie theater. A little holy fear is good for us. Don't do away with it. Don't get too loose. Have you ever thought about it? Like you're in the middle of something, you're doing something, and it just hits like, What if Jesus came back right now? Might change life. Might clean things up, you know. Billy Graham said the end will come with the return of Jesus Christ. That is why a Christian can be an optimist. That is why a Christian can smile in the midst of all that is happening. We know what the end will be, the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to say, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ was thought of as doomsday preaching. But not anymore. It is the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. A.W. Pink said, the first time Christ came to slay sin in men, the second time he will come to slay men in sin. Charles Spurgeon said, I do not come into this pulpit hoping that perhaps somebody will of his own free will return to Christ. My hope lies in another quarter. I hope that my master will lay hold of some of them and say, you are mine, and you shall be mine. I claim you for myself. My hope arises from the freeness of grace, not from the freedom of the will. The importance of watching. Luke 21, 34 to 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy, that is, have strength to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The Amplified Bible, but be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down and depressed with the giddiness of debauchery and the nausea of self-indulgence. Yeah, it is nauseating. And the worldly worries of life. And then that day when the Messiah returns will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. But keep alert at all times, be attentive and ready, praying that you may have the strength and ability to be found worthy and to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man at his coming. Someone's saying, I'm a churchgoer. I'm serving. I'm doing. I'm these words, in the end, there will be people who did the work of the Lord. They were busy in the church. They had done many wonderful works, but Jesus himself says, I never knew you. Back it up with scripture, okay? Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The Message paraphrase, knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons, our super spiritual projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Think about it. The Amplified Classic. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. The J.B. Phillips New Testament It is not everyone who keeps saying to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the man who actually does my heavenly Father's will. In that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name and do many great things in your name? Then I will tell them, I shall tell them plainly, I've never known you. Go away from me. You have worked on the side of evil. Wow. Sobering. And maybe enough to keep one sober. Not few, many. When you know Jesus is coming back, you get to know Jesus. And when you know Jesus is coming back, yeah, you get to know Jesus. You get to know Jesus, and he gets to know you. When you know Jesus is coming back, you do the will of his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. You know, like our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What of days like Noah's? Matthew 24:36-44, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour, you do not know what day, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, what watch of the night, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Days like Noah's, do like Noah. Build an ark. Build that ark, and Jesus is the ark. Build a Jesus life. Build according to his blueprints, according to the word of the Lord. You know, no one knew what was coming, not when. And it was something new. Something never seen before. Seemingly impossible. When you know what's coming, still rather when you know who is coming and the choice between faithful servant and evil servant. Matthew 24:45-51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant who is master, made ruler of his household to give them food in due season at the right time? Blessed is that servant who his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Faithful and wise. The faithful are wise, and the wise are faithful. Blessed are they when Jesus comes. And you know, in a sense, he comes to check in on us. The faithful and wise never say, my master is delaying his coming. Faithful and wise, not an hour they are not aware. Let's have the worship team return. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is coming soon. And so the call today, a coming back. If we need a coming back, a coming back to getting ready, a coming back to preparedness, a coming back to faithfulness and steadfastness, a coming back to living out life, how he would have us live our life, a coming back to first love. So true, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ is the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. This is no doomsday preaching, this is hope. This is a message of hope and life. all can find hope and life in the person of Jesus Christ. And so now that we know, now that you know that Jesus is coming back, is there anything that you need to attend to? The Bible says, judge yourself. Is there anything I need to attend to? And even if we would say, no, I don't think so, I think everything's in order, like the psalmist, search me, O God. Try me. God, only you know. Get a clear picture of what I'm all about. God, tell me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. J.C. Ryle, he said, live as if you thought that Christ might come at any time. Do everything as if you did it for the last time. Say everything as if you said it for the last time. Read every chapter in the Bible as if you did not know whether you would be allowed to read it again. Pray every prayer as if you felt it might be your last opportunity. Hear every sermon as if you were hearing once and forever. This is a good way to be found. This is the way to turn Christ's second appearing to good account. This is the way to put on the armor of light. He went on to say, I do not know when Christ will come. I am no prophet, though I love the subject of prophecy. You know what he said? He said, I dislike date fixing, and I think it has done great harm. I only assert positively that Christ will come again one day in person to set up his kingdom, and that whether the day be near or whether it be far off, it will take the church and the world unexpectedly, exceedingly by surprise. Looking backward, upward, and forward at Jesus. Reader, remember these three looks at Jesus. Backward, upward, forward. And make use of them every day. The first is the secret of peace and conscience. No peace unless we look backward at the cross of Christ. The second is the secret of real daily strength and comfort in our walk with God. Little solid comfort unless we look upward to Christ's intercession. The third is the secret of bright and cheerful hope in a dark world. No bright prospect unless we look forward to Christ coming again. Backward, upward, forward. These are the three ways in which we should look at Jesus. The person that looks at the cross is a wise person. The person that looks at the cross and the intercession also is wiser still. But they that look at all three, the cross, the intercession, and the coming of Jesus, they are wisest of all. A few more quotes. You okay with this? Wrapping it up. G. Campbell Morgan. To me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. It's a screwed up world. I never lay my head on the pillow without thinking that perhaps before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that he may interrupt my work and begin his own. This is now his word to all believing souls, till I come. We are not looking for death, we are looking for him. A.W. Tozer, this is the kind of age and hour when the Lord's people should be so alert to the hope and promise of his coming that they should get up every morning just like a child on Christmas morning, eager and believing that it should be today. In summary, I think we must note that there is a vast difference between the doctrine of Christ's coming and the hope of his coming. It surely is possible to hold the doctrine without feeling a trace of the blessed hope. Indeed, there are multitudes of Christians today who hold the doctrine. What I have tried to center on here is that overwhelming sense of anticipation that lifts the life upward to a new plane and fills the heart with rapturous optimism. This is largely lacking among us now. The longing to see Christ that burned in the breasts of those first Christians seems to have burned itself out. All we have left are the ashes. C.S. Lewis, the doctrine of the second coming teaches us that we do not and cannot know when the world drama will end. The curtain may be rung down at any moment. This seems to some people intolerably frustrating. We do not know the play. The author knows. The audience, if there is an audience, if angels and archangels and all the company of heaven fill the pit and the stalls may have an inkling. When it is over, we may be told. We are led to expect that the author will have something to say to each of us on the part that each of us has played. The playing it well is what matters infinitely. Now, Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. You know, he's calling out right now. You know that he's long-suffering, that more people might be saved. Just think of it. You're like, no, my master's delaying and coming another day, another week, another month, another year, another lifetime. He's not willing that any perish. Wake up tomorrow and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm glad. I'm going to rejoice because it's an opportunity for another soul to get saved. It's an opportunity for a son or daughter that's off living a prodigal life to come back to Jesus. It's another opportunity. Thank you, God, for this gift. I don't just want to get out of here. I mean, I anticipate heaven, but, you know, I think sometimes we're just like, come, Jesus, come, and we want him to come, but he's saying, hey, just hold on. I got a little more long-suffering to do because guess what? We got a whole eternity ahead of us. Don't worry. We got a whole eternity ahead of us. Why are we in such a rush? I need to save that person, and I want to save that person. I'm going to call out. I need to make my way through Samaria. I need to sit down at a well. There's another woman that needs the water of life. There's another man that needs to answer. There's a Zacchaeus in the tree. You know what I'm saying? Another opportunity. Another opportunity. You know, maybe you're feeling it right now. Don't push it away. You used to be in a state of preparedness. You were ready. You felt you were ready, and still, by God's grace, we're ready, but you felt you were ready. You were doing things right. You were walking as you should. We could even slip in there. You were attending church as you should. You're like, well, it doesn't even matter, does it? Well, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. But so much more as the great day approaches, get together, go to church, worship, pray. And some have become slack even in this, and there's so many examples today where we were in a state of preparedness, readiness, and now we've come out of that for whatever reason. That's why the Bible uses words like steadfast. Steadfast. I don't know about you, but I just can't wait till Jesus returns. I hope it's in my lifetime. We all hope it's in our lifetime. And I've said this before, you know, I don't know if he's going to come back in our lifetime, but I can tell you this, we're the closest generation to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The others have passed away. It's our time. It's our hour. This is our watch. It's our watch. Check the watch. Perhaps just a wake-up call today, you know, like cock-a-doodle-doo, like an alarm to come back to preparedness, to come back to getting ready. You're saying, my robe's a little dirty. I'd be embarrassed if Jesus showed up. Blessed are those who wash their robes. My mouth is a little dirty. Clean it up. The bride prepares herself, and that's the collective, but it's also the individual. We all have a responsibility. Let's stand in the house of the Lord.